Good morning. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you all this morning. Want to thank you for your generous gift in assisting my family. We thank God for you, for your love for Him, and for your faith. Got a few things here on the board. The title of this lesson is, What Are My Priorities? Priorities are something I believe that we all struggle with, and I hope to stir our minds, stir our hearts to consider, reevaluate our priorities, and with the Lord's help, may we do better. Wealth, happiness, success, family, things, status, job, recreation, the list can go on and on. Realize that none of these things in and of themselves are bad. It's where we place them on our priority list. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, young man doing the work of an evangelist, he tells us, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Physical exercise is good. How many of you have had your doctors that told you need to exercise more? But Paul says there's something better. Exercising godliness. When the Bible speaks about godliness, it's talking about a reverence, an honor for God. One that is so great that our desire is to serve Him, to please Him. All that we do and say. And one of the things that God desires for us to do is found in Romans 8 and 29, which is to mold and to shape our lives to conform to His Son. To be a little bit more like Jesus each and every day. That is godliness. What is a priority? Well, I went to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Something that is more important than other things and that needs to be done or dealt with first. Maybe. I want to expand on that definition just a little bit. Someone or something we spend our time, our devotion, and commitment. We all have priorities. Sometimes we may not even realize that it is a priority in our life. Maybe it just kind of creeps in unnoticed. Let me give you an illustration. Several years ago, and I am a Chiefs fan, but several years ago I found myself hurrying to get the lawn mowed so that I could watch the preseason game of the Kansas City Chiefs. And it kind of occurred to me, whoa, wait a minute. I'm scheduling and moving my life around the Chiefs. That had kind of become a priority and I didn't even realize it. Maybe you have things like that that kind of creep into your life. Stephen R. Covey, an inspirational writer and speaker, he wrote, most of us spend too much time on what is urgent and not enough time on what is important. I think there's a lot of truth to that. One brother, maybe you knew him, Brother Mel Short. He was an elder up at 59th and University, and then the latter part of his life he spent there around at Eldon down at Lake of the Ozarks. And he says, we major in the minors and we minor in the majors. Maybe a question we need to ask ourselves, and I found that this helps me, especially if you feel like this person here. This person, I'm not an artist, but this person is being tugged, being pulled in all these various different directions. And if you start feeling that way, maybe it might be a good question to ask ourselves. If the world was to come to the end tonight, if the Lord was to come back tonight, tomorrow, how important, and you fill in the blank, would such and such be? For me, it helps me to have perspective on what truly is and should be a priority in my life. And another thing that we might ask ourselves in that same question, the Lord was to come back tonight, am I ready? Am I ready? Well, how does a Christian go about arranging priorities? Well, each of us should have a priority list. Maybe we have it written down on our mind. Maybe we have it written down on paper. We need to sit down, we need to evaluate, take inventory, discern, what are my responsibilities? What are my activities? And if you're like me, you have a priority list in your head, and it guides me, but after a while it just seems like things keep coming. House needs repairing, car broke down, you know, brother or sister's calling for help, you know, something, and it just seems like they just keep coming. And my priority list gets cluttered, and it's not what I started out with to begin with. Therefore, I need a reset button. I need to sit back down. I need to reevaluate my life. Where am I spending my time? Where is my money going? Where are my energies going? Because these are going to point me to my priorities. They're going to point me in that direction. And then I need to ask myself, just how beneficial are my priorities at helping me get to the goal? I put the goal up here. And I'm just going to abbreviate heaven. That includes a lot. But it's to please the Lord in all that I do and say. To spend an eternity with Him and to bring along as many souls as possible. When I say heaven, that's all included in that goal. Turn your Bibles with me to Haggai. So I was considering this topic. Haggai is only two chapters long. I believe it's the third book to the back of the Old Testament there. But Haggai chapter 1, I want to read 3 through 8. Haggai chapter 1, 3 through 8. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. There are several things that we can learn from these scriptures. I do want to set the background. In 586 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he had destroyed the temple that Solomon had built there in Jerusalem, and he carried away captive the children of Judah because of their sins. Now we're going to fast forward to about 520 BC. And that's whenever Haggai is taking place and being written. Under the Persian Empire, the children of Judah were granted to return to Jerusalem for the purpose to rebuild the temple, the house of God. But as we read here in Haggai, the children of Judah, they lost sight of their purpose. They lost sight of their goal. They had allowed their priority list to become skewed. Where building the temple should have been at the top of their priority list, it had fallen down to the bottom. The prophet shows them their inconsistencies. Building nice houses for their personal comfort. Is there anything wrong with providing for our families? No. Matter of fact, we're commanded to do so in 1 Timothy. He who will not provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. The problem was where their priorities laid. Because of poor priorities, they were not prospering. What can we take from this? Because this is written for our learning. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The things which were written beforehand were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. It's not enough first to be religious. These people were religious. It's not enough to be well-intentioned. These people had good intentions. I mean, look, they traveled hundreds, if not over 1,000 miles. From there, the Babylonian, the Persian area, they would have had to follow the Euphrates River up and then come down into Jerusalem. I think sometimes we, like the children of Judah, we can be pulled. We can be pushed in many different directions. Maybe some of the things up here are pulling and pushing you today. I don't know. What is the answer? Well, God says it twice. Consider your ways. This word consider in the Hebrew, it comes from three words. I'm only going to focus on one word, which means the heart. And yes, priorities are a matter of the heart. Jesus said that where our treasures lay, there our heart will be also. And I think that was brought up in our class this morning. Someone once said, we do what we want to do. And if it's important to us, we will find a way. Dellen H. Oakes wrote, desire dictates our priorities. Priorities shape our choices, and our choices determine our actions. What is the first priority that every Christian should have? I appreciate Brother Jack reading Mark. And if you have your Bibles, please turn there, Mark chapter 12. And I'm going to put it up here, not because this is Dan's list, but this is what God says. Mark chapter 12, whenever the young man came and asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Beginning in 29, first of all, the first commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now consider that. All our heart, soul, mind, strength. Is there anything else left? That's our all. All in. Putting everything we have into serving our Lord, including our heart. And then Jesus said the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. But notice what verse 34 says. The man tells Jesus, you're right. And then Jesus says in verse 34, so when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared question him. Not far from the kingdom of God. When we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, strength, we're not far from the kingdom of God. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I'm going to put that, and I don't know if I should set it here or put it as number 2. Don't worry, I'm not going to fill out any more of that priority list. I'm going to leave that up to you. But the Bible teaches us this should be at the top of our priority. Kingdom of God, what does that entail? What does that include? Well, it includes us setting the Lord as King of our lives, reigning on the throne of our hearts. But it also includes the church. For the kingdom on the earth is the Lord's body. It is the church. And keeping with the comparison of Haggai, the true temple of God was established and the doors were opened to the Jews in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, 33 AD, give or take a few years there. But the house of God is the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We've got a little bit of time. Why don't we turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul's writing to the church there at Corinth. And in doing so, he reminds them and he reminds us. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We are called to be holy. Love that word holy. It has the idea of being consecrated, being cleansed, and then set apart for God's use. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5 speaks of us as living stones being built up for a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When I think of living, think of something that's growing, something that is developing, something that is maturing. Think of a stone. I think of something that's solid. Something I can depend on. Something I can build with. Question is, can God depend on you? Can God depend on me? Are we growing? Are we developing? Are we maturing in His service? Building up the church as a whole and our brethren individually should be a priority. Because this is seeking first the kingdom of God. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Paul writing to the church there at Rome. Or the more I read that, I believe there's probably more than one church that's listed there in Romans chapter 16. But however, he says, therefore, let us pursue. You know, I was thinking of, you know, children. Whenever they're pursuing, you know, they're running, they're putting forth effort. He says, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things which one may edify another. I'm reading from the New King James translation this morning. But that word edify, it comes from a word meaning edifice, house. Therefore, edifying is to build up. It's to establish. It's to reinforce the foundation. Christians are building up God's house. We do that through instruction. We do that through example, teaching, admonishing, serving one another in the spirit of love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. There are over 50 one another statements in the New Testament. It says one another. Is God trying to tell us something? I believe He is. We must invest in our brethren whom Christ died for. We cannot go on our own. I know there have been worldly songs, Islands in the Stream. I did it my way. That's not God's way. God's way is one another, together, encouraging, edifying, building up, strengthening, exhorting, inviting. Our brethren are worthy of our heart's desires, attention, and efforts. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us to set our mind on things above. I don't know about you, but I find it easier to set my mind on things above whenever I am around like-minded individuals. Those who are also setting their mind on things above. Because that encourages me to set my mind on things above even more. You know, friends might not be bad in and of themselves, but could I be spending my time, my money, my energies in a more useful, more spiritual, beneficial way? The time and the energies that I'm spending with friends of the world, are they going to help me get to my goal? What shapes and develops our priorities? Well, our priorities are things that we hold dear. They are things that are valuable to us. As Jesus said, our treasure. The more we spend and focus on the true priorities, seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, setting our mind on things above and not on things of the earth, the more we practice this, the greater, the stronger, the more beneficial will our priorities become. But I picked three things. I'm not going to say these are the only things that help us develop and shape our priorities. But three things: faith, our trust, our confidence in God and in His precious promises, following through. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God first must believe He is, and two, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Faith is like rocket fuel. It propels our rockets into action. Not just any action, but action that are guided and directed by God. Because our focus is on Him. Our focus is on to please Him. Second, the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Many of you could probably quote that. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith and the Word of God go hand in hand. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible is a personal letter written to you from God, our Creator and our Sustainer. In it, we learn of who God is. We learn of what God's will is for our life and how we can appropriately worship and serve Him. It's our guide. Someone once said Bible, acronym stands for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Do you know how many times the will of God or this is the will of God appears in the New Testament? I read stories and, you know, I talk to people. I wish I knew what God's will was for my life. Here it is. Over 20 times. It's through the Word of God that we renew our minds. That we refresh our minds. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Because if we don't renew our minds, we're going to keep ourselves stuck in the ruts of the wrong priorities. Renewing our minds, keeping fresh what is important to God. What matters to God. And if it matters to God, it ought to matter to me. James 4 and 8, we draw near to God and He will draw near to you. If you don't have time for Bible reading, we need to reschedule our priorities. Maybe I need to get up a half hour earlier. Maybe I need to go to bed a half hour later. You know, you might even be able to read your Bible during lunch at work. I did that for several years when I worked at the Ford dealership. Had Bible in one hand, sandwich in the other. But the Bible is important. And then I've considered that third one already. And that's stirring up our brethren. Stirring up one another. Turn with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I think a group like this is well familiar with this scripture. But as Peter said, even though you know these things, it's good to stir one another up in memory. Remind one another. Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read verses 24 and 20, 23 through 24, 5, please. 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He who promised is our rock, and He does not change. He does not move. You can take it to the bank, whatever promise He's given. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You know, I believe the King James says to provoke one another. That's the only time in the Scriptures that provoking is in a good sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us that love does not provoke. But in a good sense, we stir one another up. We encourage one another. That zeal, that fire. You know, as you stir up the embers, you know, there of a fire, they get brighter. That's the idea here. But I can't do that if I'm not around you. If I'm not with you. And he says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Apparently some were starting to do that. They were leaving. They were dereliction of duty. Forsaking, that word, it's a military term in the Greek. It goes back to dereliction of duty. out of step. But he says, exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about the day when our Lord shall return, but I know every day that we live, we get one day closer. One day closer. Are we ready? This isn't a suggestion, this is a command. Because the Lord knows us. He designed us. And He designed us to need one another. To help one another. To feel loved, to feel needed, and to work together. Working His plan. I believe Rick Sparks one time said that if we will work God's plan will work. But there's that word work. It's up to us. I want to close this lesson with a thought here. Have you made the Lord a priority or the priority of your life? The Lord has made you a priority. He made you a priority when He gave His life on the cross. So that you would not have to suffer eternal separation from your Creator. When He gave His life so that you could have forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He offers us life. He made you a priority. If you've obeyed the gospel, you're still a priority in His life. But He only asks of us to believe that He's the Son of God, that He died for our sins. Have such a strong belief, such a strong conviction that I can't sit there. I've got to follow through. And He says that we are to confess Him as Lord, Lord of our lives, and repent. To turn from our sins, turn from the wrong priorities, and turn to follow Him. Meet Him in that watery grave of baptism with a confessing mouth and with a repenting heart. He says, I'll wash away your sins and I'll remember them no more. Be gone. If you've never obeyed the gospel, why not? If you have obeyed the gospel, maybe you started out on fire, zeal, but along the way your priorities became skewed. The Lord invites you. He invites you to return, to rededicate your life to His service. There's a ready, willing, desiring family that wants to assist you here today. If you have a need, let it be known while we stand and while we sing. The invitation's open to all.